B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mads, 98.5, the Sports Hub, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Felger and Mads presented by DraftKings, and also it's an agenda-free Friday. Driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. It being agenda-free, that means that you, the people, set the tone with your phone calls at 617-779-0985 for the most part. But Jones and I will also yammer on about other things on our mind between now and 6 p.m. And a reminder, right around 4-ish, Chris Gasper, WCVB TV Channel 5, will be joining for his normal spot. Let's go to Woody in Norwood. You're next here on Felger and Mads. Hey, Woody.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show, occasional caller. But, you know, I saw the article about Bruce Arena's comments in the Globe today, maybe Boston.com. And the comment that I wanted to make on it was I think he really kind of misses the point. And I don't know what the original reason was why they play the anthem before games, but I always understood it that, you know, sporting events are by their nature pride events. And you know, they play the anthem, or what that should symbolize is that, you know, although we root for our individual sides, you know, we're all Americans, we're all under one flag. And I don't know if I just wanted to, you know, get your or hear your thoughts. I'll hang up.
Thanks, Woody. So here's what he's alluding to. So Revolution coach Bruce Arena told ESPN. Within the last day or so.
It was last. We got to this late in the program last night.
Okay.
So I think this was last night to Taylor Twellman, I think.
Okay, he believes playing the anthem at sporting events puts people in, here's the quote, in awkward positions. We don't use the national anthem in movie theaters or on Broadway, said Arena, or for other events in the United States. I don't think it's appropriate to have a national anthem before a baseball game or an MLS game. But having said that, I want it understood that I am very patriotic, but I think it is inappropriate. Inappropriate. So, I don't know. I feel like it's just kind of forgotten for the most part. It's just there. It's part of the background of any kind of professional sporting event, or really any sporting event that you go to. It doesn't have to be professional. Like, the anthem is typically played, but how many times are people just in beer lines or taking a leak or just getting into the building? And it's not even being observed by everyone inside that arena. So it's, I think, an afterthought, for better or worse, for a lot of people. Inappropriate, though? That's not the term that I would use.
No, and I'm not trying to say get rid of the anthem. It's a tradition now, so, you know, I'm not saying we need to keep every single tradition, but that's one that I would say we don't need to get rid of. He does make an interesting point. Like, why is it? How did it become a tradition? So we looked this up late last night. I did not know this. And my guess was it would have started, like, during World War II. It was during World War I, in, like, 1918. They played it during a World Series. I think it was a Red Sox World Series. And they played it during a seventh inning stretch. And Arcan made the point last night. He's like, it's basically like the Red Sox stumbling on Sweet Caroline. The crowd started singing along. It was popular. It was jingoistic. And it became a tradition from there. But it was like the Red Sox being like, yeah, let's try Sweet Caroline one time in the seventh inning stretch. And to Arcan's point, it caught on like you know, a tradition to this day. So that's not a tradition I would undo. In a weird way, like, I wonder how athletes would feel about, like, let's say professional leagues took it away. Isn't that now like a platform where players can protest? Now you're going to take that away from them?
Yeah, and I can understand why some players would look at that and say, well, you're trying to stifle our voice.
Like,
this
exactly, was going to be our silences, yeah.
For silence, silent protest. I didn't have a problem with the knee then. I don't now, you know. But I understand how people that have served, why it means more to them. Like, you know, I'm a proud American, and to say it's inappropriate, like, that's where I get my back up a bit, and it's like, oh, are you one of these pukes now that it's like, I see the American flag, and I don't like what it stands for anymore, and I find the American anthem, the national anthem, offensive. Like, okay, if that's how you feel, fine. That's why I get to call you a commie puke. So if we're going to try to get rid of it because people find it offensive, well, go F yourselves. Like, that. I'm not going to co-sign on that. But if you're just going to try to remove it because, well, I'll put it to you this way. If any of these leagues look at it and say, it's better for business to remove it, I can understand it. I can completely understand why you're going to remove that from the atmosphere of the live sporting event, because it just makes things easier
it's
for
the
everybody.
Only reason we've seen Goodell shift in the last 3 years, right? It's the only reason why Goodell's like, yeah, Black Lives totally matter now. Go ahead, take a knee.
Yeah.
Take a knee, because the country has shifted. The stance has shifted, which means business is going to shift for them. Maybe not in the immediate future, but certainly in the near term and definitely long term, that's... They don't want to be alienating their fan base. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. If you know, the metrics ever told them that, surveys and various other ways to get that information told them that, then that probably would be what it took. But no, I don't. I'm not advocating for that. It's just interesting to think about how it started and like why that is indeed a tradition.
That's funny that Arcand put it that way. Like the Red Sox stumbling
on. Like, let's try the anthem during the seventh inning stretch. It's literally like the Red Sox doing that.
And
let's try it. What the heck, Neil Diamond? Let's try it. Let's see if it works.
I'm not an old fashioned traditionalist with much in my life, Jones. But I will say I'm an old fashioned traditionalist when it comes to the anthem at a sporting event. If I'm there in the building, I'm in my seat, like I'm up, hat off, hand over heart.
And are you singing? Are you a singer?
Depends on the moment.
Really?
Yeah, depends on the moment and how many drinks I got in me.
I'm not an anthem singer. I'm singing in my head.
Not loud. I don't project.
Yeah, you kind of mouth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Okay.
It's more of a hum than anything else.
I like to stand at attention, just kind of.
You got to look at it.
Yeah, you got a burning stare right on that thing. Yeah.
But again, this crazy world we're living in now. Gets crazier by the hour, let alone the day. There are those, just scroll through Twitter now. It's just a cesspool, the worst. I mean, there are those that look at the flag and what it stands like, oh, I'm offended by the flag. You know what that means. Jesus, really? This is where we're going now? Okay, so if you're trying to get rid of the anthem and the flag and you don't want that as part of a sporting event, professional, collegiate, whatever, well, fine. You're entitled to your opinion. Again, I will call you a commie puke. Chris in Worcester on the National Anthem at Sporting Events. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, thanks, guys. I was just getting home from Worcester. I was driving home from work in Boston. But this one, I thought about, right. So Bruce Arians said that, you know, why do we do it? We don't do it in Broadway or movie theaters.
Bruce Arena.
Yeah.
Bruce Arenas. I'm sorry about that. But Olympics. Could you imagine? All right, no more anthems. Just get up on the stage. Here's your gold medal. Here's your silver medal. Bronze medal. Get off.
I think the Olympics is a little different. Can we not acknowledge the Olympics is different than like a high school sporting event or a professional sporting event? That's a lot different.
Yeah. I mean, the anthems are going to be played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot different. So I don't think Bruce Arena was advocating for that. I'm sure he wasn't advocating for it in the World Cup. I mean, he'd go on to make another point that I thought was interesting and applies to a lot of leagues too. Like, you know, most of the athletes in MLS, there's a lot of international athletes in MLS. And I don't know the full breakdown, but like, how many are American? You know, how many, the NHL is majority Canadian, right? A lot of them, what is it, 7 teams in Canada? The rest of the NHL is in the States. Like, they're sitting there during the U.S. national anthem, but, you know, all the time. So it's about the fan base. It's about the fans in the arena more than it is about the players on the ice or the players out there. I get that, but... Yeah, I think the Olympics would be much different than what Bruce Arena was talking about.
But if any of these organizations, the owners came together in the NFL and said, you know what, it's best for business that we actually don't play the anthem anymore. I can actually respect that, because more than saluting the flag, Jones, there's one thing I'll salute above all else, and that's the dollar. So I can understand from a business standpoint if they look at this and say, this is, yeah, it's crazy to say, it's controversial to play the anthem before a sporting event. But
we're not there.
No, but we could be.
I mean, I guess we could be, but we're not. You don't think we're there.
Not yet. Give it a week.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, right. Okay. Yeah. Let's see how the next week goes. But like present day today, Bruce Arena aside, I don't think we're there yet. I don't think
Jones,
so.
There's people that believe. Do you know the Dungeons and Dragons thing?
I've heard of the game.
Yeah. No. Now there's those, the like far left lunatics. And I'm a middleist. I'm a centrist, though. You're bad if you're centrist now. But there's those that believe that Dungeons and Dragons needs to be changed. Because the orcs and the lower level beasts in Dungeons and Dragons, they're the ones that are oppressed. Like they want Dungeons and Dragons canceled or changed because the lower level beasts, fictional characters, in a board game for nerds.
Well, who would argue with that? I think it's unfair. For a long time, I've been a vocal critic of how the orcs are treated in Dungeons and Dragons. So I didn't realize there was a movement on that, but good. I'm happy about that.
They're coming for the orcs. They're not even real. It's a fictional beast,
Jim,
from a board game.
Jim, just give everybody a trophy.
Holy crap. And if you think I'm not... No,
every game ends in a tie now.
I'm not making that up. Google that. Dungeons & Dragons, like, canceled. Dungeons & Dragons needs to be changed because there's those... It needs to be changed. The game is offensive. Dungeons & Dragons is offensive because it goes on for so long, and you have a 21-sided die, and it's played by losers who love Rush a little bit too much. Like, that's... You want to be offended by that? Like, okay, I'm on. That shouldn't be canceled. They're just nerds, like a board game.
The orcs and the who? The orcs and the...
The dragons, like the certain beasts in the game. Yeah. So will we be there? Oh, it's just all a matter of time, Jones. Just give it time. What's next?
Let them cancel Dungeons & Dragons first. Then we can start talking about the end.
Whew.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's just every day. How can it... Oh, okay. All right. Well, Taco Bell's done. Okay, so you're trying to get Taco Bell and Dungeons & Dragons. What's next? And as I've since changed my Twitter headline, too, so let it be known. And I've said this to Gasper on the weekends. Jimmy, you can record this, put it up on the internet, whatever. When the time comes that you come for me, just know, my apology, I will not mean one word of it. I'll give it to you if it means I can save my job.
Yeah.
But I won't mean one word of it. All right, back after this, we've got full phone line. Someone drops off, 617-779-0985. You want to join us here on an agenda-free Friday in Felger and Mass.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mads, 98.5, The Sports Hub, simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Mike and Tony off today, so you have yours truly, Big Jim Murray, and Adam Jones, the Vulture. Knights here on 98.5 The Sports Hub alongside, and you at 617-779-0985 on an agenda-free Friday. Let's go to Zach in the car. It was an NFL thought. Hey, Zach.
Hi, yes. So I wanted to comment on your running back conversation you had a little bit ago.
Oh, yeah.
I generally agree with you guys about the second contracts for running backs, but I think the one exception coming up will most likely, I think, be Derrick Henry, just because that man's built to last for a long time, and I think he could easily last just for his size, because I think he's like 6'5", 270.
Yeah, I think he's the exact kind of guy I wouldn't pay.
Yeah, Zach, you might want to look at his year-to-year, because last year for Derrick Henry was ultimately the anomaly. Like, he's dealt with injuries already, and that is a guy that longevity is not going to be in the, you know, anything coming down for the future of Derrick Henry.
And I think if you look up, this is going to sound dorky, but if you look up like his high school stats are unbelievable. And then the number of touches he had in high school, the number of touches he had in college, like all those count. He's been managed a little bit more with the Titans, mostly because they're idiots and can't figure out how to use him. They finally did last year. It's the same organization that's committing to Tannehill over Brady, so they don't know what they're doing. But, yeah, he's the kind of guy I wouldn't pay. I think, did he get franchised? He got franchised, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like, that's the kind of guy that I'd franchise, and then if he has a big year, I'd franchise him again, and then I'd worry about figuring something else out after that. I know it's a lot of money to franchise a running back twice, but... I'd go year to year with him. That's the exact opposite of the kind of guy I would pay, especially because he's like borderline non-existent in the passing game.
Parker in New Hampshire. Well, and I thought with the NBA bubble. Hey, Parker.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
Yeah, so I was thinking, so home court advantages the guys are talking about here, down in Orlando.
Yeah.
What if there's a run answer buzzer after an away team misses a shot? Like, how aggravating would that be?
What if there's a what?
What if there's a what? You got muffled there. What'd you say?
So if there is a wrong answer buzzer after an away team misses a shot down in Orlando in the NBA bubble.
A wrong answer buzzer?
Oh. Yeah, like you missed a shot. Like every time you miss a shot, that'd give the home team, the quote-unquote home team, an advantage, I think is what he's saying.
I don't know if I understand that call that much.
You know, like the idea it goes back to, I think I know what he's driving at. The idea that these teams in the bubble that are supposed to have home court advantage, they want an inherent advantage built in.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, like a mocking sound effect every time he hits. Yeah, that.
Okay. Yeah. No.
You know, Gordon Hayward drives to the bucket for a layup and, you know, can't make a layup. Yeah, exactly. That sort of thing.
The one that I really didn't understand was, or see why it would matter that much, was there was the talk of the teams bringing their own floors. Like, that felt
stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, they only have two places they're playing games, right? So how on earth are they expected to do that? How long does it take the Bull Gang to break that thing down at the Garden?
That just seems like a giant pain in the ass.
Well, and then what? Like, you're gonna take who gets the floor? Is it like the Lakers day all day? Do the Clippers get it the next day, or right. Are they changing it for like every game? What kind of advantage do you get from that?
No, the other thing was
we're not on the parquet.
That seemed like that got squashed, thankfully. But one of the things that actually came to fruition with this plan down in the bubble, and Felger was one of the first people just kind of kicking it around. I don't think he was just saying that it might be a good incentive for these top teams because, you know, if you're Milwaukee or you're one of the LA teams, like, you should be rewarded if you're one of the top seeds. And he said, you know, they should get the better hotels. Well, it turns out that's what's basically happening.
Yeah. Except, isn't it backwards? Is it like everyone that, and I have not been to Disney World in a long time. I don't plan on taking my son anytime soon. And from everybody we talked to that night when all the hotels were coming out, the one the Celtics are staying at is the newest, but most people, I think Dan Roach included, don't think the Grandestino?
The Grandestino,
yeah,
which Disney calls a celebration of the unique blend of Spanish, Mexican, and Southwest American cultures.
I don't know. I don't think most people who have stayed at all these spaces feel that way. So I don't know if Disney's just trying to market it because it's new and they want the best team staying there. And maybe that'll, like, as more and more teams fall off, maybe the whole league is effectively set up there. Maybe it's not just the players, it's league executives and TV executives and whoever else is going to be in there. I don't know. Maybe that's where they'll be doing, like, daily press conferences and things. But no, I think everybody likes the second tier one the best, the Grand Floridian.
Well, that's where I stayed 20 years. I've been to Disney once, Jones.
Yep. And you stayed there?
20 years ago.
How was it?
Oh, it was hell. It was one of the great... terrible vacations of my lifetime.
Yeah.
It was for, and at the time it was like my mom was months away from passing from cancer. So the family decided, you know what, let's have a last hurrah at Disney.
Yeah.
Because my nieces and nephews were young at the time. I was in my 20s. Every moment I wanted to die. And it wasn't just because of the forced fun of Disney, which I despise, but it's just, everything is just. Oh, it's just so fake, and the food was just all the same, and everything is overpriced. It's hell. Disney, to me, my personality, it is hell on earth. So all these NBA players, especially guys that have been pampered and staying at the Four Seasons and have been...
Oh, they're going to think it stinks.
No matter where they go, whether it's the Grand Floridian and it's better than it was 20 years ago, or the Grandestino, it's all going to suck. They're all going to be upset.
So what I imagine is the worst about Disney isn't people with their kids. Like, they're probably miserable that they have to take their kids there to justify that, you know, they're being good parents. But, you know, the adults, aren't there like adults who go?
Oh, yeah, you know, those people are crazy.
They're like in those hotels. That has to make the whole thing miserable.
There's adults, Jones, one of which is one of my friend's brothers. They still go as adults for the princess dinners, like the character dinners.
Yeah.
Like you got your kids and you want to do right by your kids. You go down there, you spend all the money, you make the kids happy.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What, you know, I get it. But you're an adult, like, you might, to me, if I was running things, you'd end up on a watch list. Like, there's something wrong with you. Like,
yeah, that Ariel's wicked hot.
What is, God. Like, there's so many better places to go to Turks and Caicos. Go to a Caribbean island. You go to Disney as an adult. Oh, it's such the happiest place on earth.
Caribbean. Yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean. That's probably not that different.
Just the worst place. So, yeah, I think it's going to be, no matter what, even if that is looked at as an incentive for the Bucks, the Celtics, the Lakers, the Clippers, so on and so forth, they get to stay at the Floridian or the Grandestino. It's a rude awakening for all of them because, ultimately, all of those places suck. All the food sucks. The experience sucks at Disney. So I don't blame any of them at the last minute. Say, I'm good. It's not for COVID reasons or social justice reasons. I just don't want to stay at Disney. I'm not going. Nick in the car on Gordon Hayward, who Jones had a take on earlier, that maybe the bubble might be the best environment for Hayward.
He might be MVP.
He can sit there and play video games and not be bothered by Penelope. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Huge fan of the show. So first and foremost, I am not a Gordon Hayward fan, and I had a small two-part question for you guys. A, with him being due the 34-player opt-in, if he takes it, $34 million opt-in, do you think that he cares enough about winning a chip with us to say, opt out and then restructure and maybe sign a 1-year deal for cheap so we can sign another piece?
No. No.
No,
you think I thought he was going to say, will he opt out and go somewhere else?
I mean, hasn't the destination been Miami? I will defer to Jimmy Stewart, who has his Celtic sources. I mean, hasn't it been that he, or at least the wife, wants to go to Miami desperately?
I think Penelope wanted Miami from the outset, and I think that she still wants to go back there. But that's just rumor and innuendo.
So Hayward is, you know, one of the big-name free agents in 2020 if he opts out, you know, this offseason. Mm-hmm. Now, we may be seeing the salary cap go down. Is it wise for him to opt out? Maybe it's better to go opt out now. Guarantee yourself, especially with his injury history, another 3 or 4 years as opposed to being the fourth option here and falling, by the way, with Tatum and Brown continuing to ascend. So maybe it'd be wise for him to opt out and go somewhere else. I think the Hawks have a lot of money. The Grizzlies have a lot of money. I don't know if those make a lot of sense. Miami may want to wait, right? Because 2021's a good class.
And they're going to be all after Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. Like, you know, Miami feels like they're
going to... Didn't Pat Riley just say recently, too, like, yeah, we're going after Giannis? Like, he was saying, there was something I saw.
I mean, I'd imagine, and I don't... Are GMs allowed in the bubble? This is a tangent, so my apologies. Are GMs allowed in the bubble?
I don't know. I would think so.
I would imagine Pat Riley would be floating by...
They probably have their own little space.
You think? Like, I'd imagine Pat Riley floating by on the lazy river, recruiting, like, every future free agent, like, trying to bring him down to Miami. Like, I am at, like... I would think Danny Ainge and like all these GMs should try to be in there. It's like unbelievable access to players if they're allowed to do it. I don't know if the GMs can. You know the players are going to be doing it.
Oh, for sure.
It's the whole reason Kyrie and Durant wanted in there so they could recruit Beal and everybody else.
So Jones,
to come
play with them. Who is Miami's best player who could be there to play with Giannis right now?
On their team?
Yeah.
Butler. Is that a real question? No.
Who's the white boy? The European kid I'm thinking of.
Dragic?
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Okay. Wait, Butler?
The reason why I ask is because if Miami Milwaukee are in the same hotel, then they'll play video games 6 feet apart and they'll tamper.
Yep. Yeah. See,
I mean, but if you're Giannis, do you really want to go play with Jimmy Butler?
No, I wouldn't.
Probably not. That's probably true.
Butler's just that's the other thing I always hold against.
Butler's going to want to be the alpha.
Yeah, he's just too toxic.
Yeah.
And then if you don't hustle back on defense, he's going to do some off. Never mind.
End up like doing your lady for spite.
Yeah, just to prove a point.
That's how you work.
Yeah. No, you don't want any of that.
That's how you work for something.
That's a good point. You don't want that if you're Giannis.
Jacob in Westport with an NBA thought. You're next here on an Agenda Free Friday on Felger Mets. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I know it's crazy, but I think I would love to see the lower seats shooting on double rims. Everyone's played, you know, outdoor basketball, the whole like just can't stand shooting on double rims. I just love to see NBA players.
Chain nets, double rims, yeah. Half the court has to be outdoors, so you got to deal with the elements. That'd be a home court advantage.
Yeah, make it like Rucker Park, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Remember asphalt on that side of
have
the floor.
Have a DJ, like NBA Street. Remember that game? You got Bobito Garcia, like MC in the game.
That's going to happen, I think. I think there's going to be like a DJ.
That'd be actually kind of cool. Yeah, I would be into that.
I think they're going to do that.
Well, they're going to have to do something to liven it up because
the other players are allowed to go.
Yeah, and they'll be whooping it up and having a time, and they should be able to. Maybe mic those guys up because the presentation's just too weird. I don't know where you stand on the fans, no fans thing, or like fake fans thing.
Yep.
I am pro fake fans and fake noise because when Bundesliga first started up, Gasper and I were on it Saturday, and just having it down and looking up while we were in segment, I was like, oh, all right, sports, yay! And then we turned up the volume, and I got home and watched some of the game, too, and I was like, whatever the match was, and I was like, oh, this is just too weird. It's too cavernous. I hate this. Pump in the fake crowd noise. I just think from a presentation standpoint, they have to. I'm for this. I want the fake it up. Like,
I'm for it. I will tell you, there was a top-ranked boxing match last night. Maybe Lanny, I don't know if that was on your radar last night. He's shaking his head. There was a top-ranked boxing match last night where they piped in sound, and you could, like, I forget the name of the app, but you could like send in audio to the app and they would like supposedly play it on the broadcast. It did not sound very good.
Mm.
But that's top ranked boxing. Like maybe that's rinky dink compared to how the NFL or some of these other NBA would do it.
No, just have it in like, have a producer and have the audio ready to go and you have your little soundboard. You don't need that. The old CBS audio roadshow that we had for like 4 months here at this station. Remember that thing?
Yes.
Like,
huh?
Yeah, call in your voicemail and then we'll play it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that thing worked.
That's how the guy started asking Wiggy about the thousand horse sized ducks versus the one, the, you know, whatever it was, right? Yeah. One horse sized ducks or 1,000 little ducks or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we need that. But I just think, you know, like the din, the Like, I need that, because otherwise it just sounds way too weird. So the NBA, whether it's that or a DJ and, you know, someone screaming and yelling, like, they're going to have to do something to pump it up. A couple open lines you want to join us, 617-779-0985 here on an agenda-free Friday. We will get to more of your calls coming up, and we're here with you until 6. And what we'll be discussing between then and now, who knows? That's the fun of an agenda-free Friday, and that's why you get to set the table as well. Again, 617-779-0985. First, though, here's Jones with the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, a sports hub. It's an agenda-free Friday brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. And Felger and Mass also presented by DraftKings. Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for Mike and Tony today. Coming up in just about 20 minutes-ish. You never know. I want to say four in the nose, but we'll be joined by Chris Gasper in his usual spot. Chris Gasper, WCVB TV, Channel 5. Chris has got a lot going on, as he always does, but, you know, traffic, can't say he's at Neiman Marcus or shopping right now, but who knows, maybe he's got an in, you know?
Is traffic like this every Friday, by the way, at this time?
It has ramped up these last couple, I have noticed that. I don't know if that means people are going down to the Cape.
It's, like, slowly gotten worse and worse at night.
Yeah.
But this is the first time I've had to do this drive during the day, and I was surprised. I anticipated a little bit of traffic. I was surprised.
I'm for it, because it feels like normal's back, which it's not. But any semblance of normalcy, I will gladly take. So I, who hates traffic maybe more than anyone, and traffic which has helped to diminish my life and take years off of it, I know it. I feel it, because that's what, because I'm a child. That's what traffic does to me. I'm just screaming in my car like a lunatic. I've actually enjoyed it in the last couple of weeks.
It's kind of soothing.
Yeah,
like, somebody just cut me off.
I remember this.
This is great. This guy doesn't know how to drive. He just cut me off.
And then the second wave will hit, and then the roads will be all clear again, and, you know, the hell will be back. But for now, not a bad thing. Let's go to, this is, you know, I actually know who this dude is. It says Green Runs Deep. He's a big Celtics fan. He's on Instagram. You should throw him a follow. Look him up if you're not. Wants to talk about, of course, the Celtics. What's up, GRD?
Hey, what's going on, Jim? First of all, I'm happy to talk to you today. I don't call into the other two blockheads on this usual time slot, but I like you, so I called in.
Well,
I was wondering,
that's nice, Jim.
Yeah.
Out of these Boston Celtics, who do you think is going to be the weak link? And I think at the end of June, they got to submit to the Celtics whether they're going to opt out and not go to Orlando to the bubble. Who do you think is going to be the weak link and not go? Because I have a feeling somebody's not going
to
go.
Well, what names come to mind for you?
I don't even think it's going to be anything like afraid about COVID or Black Lives Matter. I think somebody's just going to opt out because they're lazy. I could probably see Robert Williams probably not going.
Oh, that would be so bad. And GRD, thanks for the call. Appreciate the. So considering that's a guy that had been dealing with injury issues since he's come into the league. Imagine that, like, the hip's fine, and he just decides, like, I'm not going, and he's asked by, you know, Chris Forsberg or any of the beat guys, why are you not going? Is it because of, you know, Black Lives Matter, social justice reasons, COVID? Nah, I'm just, like, out of shape, and I don't feel like going, because it's going to be inconvenient for me to go to Orlando. I don't think you would get that kind of an answer, hopefully not, from any kind of player, even if that's how they feel. Like, make something up, dude. But, I don't know, do you think if there's anyone, Jimmy, what do you got?
Are we sure that Tatum's definitely going?
That's what I was going to say. Like, there's a report out there that Tatum's hesitant to go. Isn't he the obvious answer?
So the report came out one of the weeknights.
Yeah, it was the night. It was the night of the
all of the beat writers saying, "Oh no, Tatum's going to be there."
Yeah.
So are we sure about it? Because it's a little convenient that all the beat guys came up with the same information
at
relatively the same time.
Kyrie doesn't want out of Boston. Kyrie wants it here.
I mean,
he loves it here.
And by the way, Tatum and Kyrie, I think they're a lot more friendlier than has been previously spoken of.
Well, the Duke connection alone. I mean, if there's one thing, on Tatum that's not great. It's that whole like Dookie thing, you know, like.
Oh, and Tatum also didn't have a basketball hoop at his house, so and really didn't train like he wanted to come back.
Yeah, I mean, the optics there were bad too. I got my backup about that. Like, dude, do you care about your craft at all? Just go get a hoop, order one on Amazon, and buy a bag of sand. Like, you can put it right in your driveway, even if you don't want to put one in with the cement pole.
Oh,
you
know, and like, all the excuses for him too. Like, well, he must live in an apartment in the city. Nope, it's got a big driveway.
Yeah,
driveway ready to go.
So,
and then the comments about wanting to be drafted by the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah. So just based on that, based on that alone, maybe he's the leader in the locker room. I think that would be bad because he's their best player.
I think he's the guy. I mean, unless Kemba's knee's really bad and Kemba's like, I don't know that I can do it with a contend schedule. It is, Jimmy says.
He's been saying that for months.
No, I
have concerns over the knee. I don't know for sure, but I have a belief that the knee might be an issue.
I think I said this a week or so ago. I think after who replaces Brady, which, you know, we spent tons of time talking about, it's the biggest question in Boston sports. Like, what's up with Kemba's knee? Can he play? Can he play if they're basically playing every other day? He couldn't before the lockdown. I mean, he was happy to play in the All-Star game, of course, but...
And then he couldn't get treatment during the lockdown.
You know, so I think that's a major question. I do, to answer his question, I think the answer is Tatum. I think Tatum.
That'd be so bad.
Because if, let's say Brown didn't want to go because Brown has been, you know...
At the forefront of...
Yes, of protesting, yeah. And like that I get.
Me too.
Any player's concerns about COVID, I get. So if it's something about not those two things and it's like contract and protecting themselves, Tatum's the guy. He's the guy with the most at stake financially. Yeah. He's the guy who was on a conference call with the NBPA. And if a player like that shuts it down, no matter what they say publicly, the guys in the locker room will know. Like the guys on the team will know. If a guy shuts it down because he's worried about his next contract, which I think Tatum's going to get either way. Yeah. He may not get a max deal either way. But bare minimum, he's going to get like a Jaylen Brown level extension, even if he had a gruesome Gordon Hayward style injury. I think he's going to get paid either way. So come back and compete. And if you don't, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you can go forward with that guy as the center of your organization. So I'm not saying Tatum's doing any of this, but if I were going to wager on a guy, that's the guy. There's reports that he may not.
There's also been some reports recently, just in the last couple of days, of the Patriots potentially trading Joe Tooney to the Philadelphia Eagles. Want to get Jones' thoughts on that, along with a couple other football items, coming up in our long commercial-free segment here on an Agenda-Free Friday on Felger and Mazz. Felger and
Mazz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo!
It's Felger and Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, you saw the graphic if you're following along on NBC Sports Boston, the simulcast of Felger and Mazz. The Dark Knight, Adam Jones, in for Mazz. Yours truly, Big Jim. In the a-hole chair, in for Felger. Just the two of us. Not even a third mic today.
No. Well, for now.
Well, for now. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. For now. Because coming up in 8 minutes, theoretically, is CVB Channel 5's Chris Gasper. I'm sure he'll be looking very dapper as always.
You think Gasper would do the 4:30 headline? He's gonna be sitting over at the headline station.
Right.
He's like a big TV guy now. He's gonna be, you know, delivering the news. Like, you know, Gasper, you want to do a headline?
Yeah, it would be well within his right to say, Jones, F you pay.
He's done well on the anchor desk, by the way.
He has.
He's done really well on the anchor desk on Channel 5.
Very much so, and continues to write for Channel 5's website as well. And I know that. He's got a lot of feedback on his latest column, which I know he wants to discuss. Where is the statement from Bill Belichick? So we get into that when it comes to Black Lives Matter and everything going on in terms of social justice in the country right now. Gasper feels very strongly about that, so we'll discuss that when he gets in, among other things. But that's for then. Now, some Pat stuff I did want to discuss and get your thoughts on Jones, like this Joe Tooney news, which has popped up the last couple of days. It felt like that had died down. There hasn't really been much Patriots news in terms of the roster or any kind of permutations there, but all of a sudden we're getting a scoop from the likes of Phil Perry and others that and Burt Breer of SI that the Patriots could potentially be looking to move Joe Tooney in a trade, again, franchised, had the franchise tag put on him, and maybe the Philadelphia Eagles would be a suitor. Your thoughts there?
Well, so the reason for it is Brandon Brooks, the
guard,
the high-level guard for Philly. I don't know if he's been an all-pro or a pro bowler or whatever, but he's well-regarded. Just tore his Achilles, I think, the other day, ACL, whatever it was, he's done for the year. And so, you know, Breer said a couple of days ago, Philly could be interested if the Patriots made Joe Tooney available. I'd imagine there's going to be more injuries like this in a condensed return if, you know, Fauci lets it happen. Or, you know, the league listens to Fauci and then decides to shut it down, then it'll be another thing. But I'd imagine there'll be more injuries like this, which means the Patriots do have an opportunity. And I'm curious if fans would be okay with dealing someone like Joe Tooney at this stage in the offseason, like nameless, faceless offensive lineman like most of them are, right? But fans know he's a pretty high-level guard. He's been franchised.
He never misses games.
So I wonder how fans would feel about that. Like, I would trade him in a heartbeat. Like, I don't think he's special. I can't believe they're paying him $15 million a year. Like, I don't want to give him a long contract extension. He's not Logan Mankins, which was the exception at guard, or like John Hanna or somebody like that. He's fine. He's fine. I don't want to pay him $15 million a year. So, yeah, I'd trade him if you get a good return for him, which would be, I don't know, first or second round pick. I'd take that for the Patriots moving forward. And I think they can piece it together at guard without Joe Tooney, even without Dante Scarnecchia, which is another thing for another day. I think they won a Super Bowl without Scarnecchia. They can piece together an offensive line without Scarnecchia. The other name that Phil Perry floated is Mohamed Sanu, who's due to make $6.5 million this year. He connected the dots that now with Deebo Samuel getting hurt for the Niners were in on Mohamed Sanu last year.
Traded for Sanders.
They traded for Manny Sanders, which again, Niners smart, Patriots dumb. They got the good receiver. The Patriots got the bum. Mohamed Sanu, I say this all the time on the Night Show, Jim. I have never seen, never, in the history of all my watching of the NFL, I have never seen a receiver as consistent at getting 4 yards on 3rd and 6 ever. Like, in the history of watching the NFL, I've never seen a guy so good at getting 4 yards when you need 6 on a key 3rd down. He's the best I've ever seen at that. So I would trade him in a heartbeat too to San Francisco. I'm sure there's going to be more injuries like this. I was advocating for Bill to trade Tooney months ago, release Mohamed Sanu for the $6 million. Maybe, and I don't want to give him credit before he deserves it. I know a lot of people do that already in this town. I don't want to give him credit before he deserves it, but there might be an opportunity for Bill to get something for those assets based on teams showing up and having injured players. And I wonder how fans would feel about it. Like, are fans at an all hands on deck, give Stidham all the help he can get, blocking with Tooney in front of him, Sanu and his 4 yards on 3rd and 6? Like, do you want to get all the options for him? Or are fans kind of in, well, let's collect some assets on the side here because the future may not be so bright?
So if Stidham's the guy, or at least he's the guy for 2020, then I want as much continuity up front to protect him. So I am not trading Joe Tooney because I don't think that they would get a first or a second return for him. If it was a third, I'm even a no.
And a third, I believe they would get a third, you know, and now you're waiting a year. But I think that'd be if they let him walk, that'd be the compensatory pick that they'd be getting. End of the third round. So that'd kind of be the baseline, I would think, for Tooney.
So I'm a no, and it doesn't seem like they're going to be getting any kind of long-term contract extension done with him here. So I can understand why they would maybe consider it. But just for, again, for continuity's sake and for trying to keep Stidham protected, because I refuse to acknowledge it could be Brian Hoyer. F him. He stinks. So let's just say it's Stidham because it's going to be Stidham. I refuse to think otherwise. Uh-huh. And you want to make him as comfortable as possible. The offensive line, and as bad as it was last year, and a lot of that had to do with injury. You know, David Andrews, because of the health issue he had, you got to try to keep him upright and protected and safe and give him time. So I'm not trading Tooney. If the Niners want to make a deal for Sanu, though, I'm all for that, just to free up some cap space, if for nothing else. You know, I don't think he was as bad as he was pretty good with Atlanta.
I love the punt returns from Sanu. Those were great.
Well, that's on Bill, though.
Because yes, that is on Bill. I agree with that.
He had done it once ever since in his career, and then he gets here, and that's one of the things I think is one of the most underrated things of Bill Belichick's bad year that he had last year, or mismanagement last year in terms of the roster. When do you ever look at him and say, like, well, you know, he left that issue bare on special teams? Punt returner last year? he had Olszewski, really. Like, that was your plan? He never really had a plan at punt returner last year, which is so unlike him.
Well, and that's what got Sanu hurt, right? Was returning punts?
In Philadelphia, yeah. The game against the Eagles. And then he was never the same. So, okay, he's not what he was when he was with Atlanta and certainly not with Cincinnati. But he wasn't as bad as he was. He was bad because he got hurt returning punts because Belichick put him there last year. That's more on Bill than I put on Sanu.
No, that's true. The third and four stuff or third and six stuff, that's on Sanu. But the punt return stuff I would put on Bill. Or even on Brady. Like, you know, I don't want to go easy on Brady on this one either. Wasn't that Brady's, like, hand-picked receiver?
Oh, yeah, no, they completely, yeah. Why they didn't go with Emmanuel Sanders, what, because he had issues with the knee? It was so stupid. Like, that guy's an absolute stud, even if he's on one leg. That's the guy that they should have gone.
Well, Sanu has the extra year of control that now you're desperate to get off your books. So I can see why they did it in retrospect.
And for a second-round draft pick, like, what a complete overpay. Oh, my God. So, yeah, him I would move. Tooney, not so much.
I'd move them both. I'd move Sanu first, but I'd move them both.
Let's go to, we've purposely not touched on baseball here. I don't know how you treat it, Jones, on your show so much. I heard you railing against them because you're fed up with it and you feel like nobody cares about the sport. And I'm, like, with you 100% on that. But I know when I'm in the a-hole chair and I'm running the ship, and especially on the weekend program, Gaspar Murray, 10 a.m. Saturdays here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, I try to make it a baseball-free experience.
Yeah,
I really do.
I was kicking myself last night for how I approached the first 3 days of the week. Like, we led the show with baseball every night. You stupid idiot. Yeah. Like, no one cares. No one cares about the daily updates between owners and players. It's honestly the most anyone's talked about the sport. They probably love it. Oh, here's what the owners propose. Here's what the players propose.
They both suck.
Like, who? I was kicking myself for doing that all week. So, you know, we buried baseball somewhere in, like, the 8 o'clock hour last night.
That said, this is a full-service operation. It's an agenda-free Friday. We take your calls. So, Russ in Connecticut with an MLB thought. Go ahead, Russ.
Hey, guys. Sorry to ruin your show with a baseball reference.
That's all.
Okay. Let's say these fools do come to an agreement and we have a season of, say, let's 70 games. What happens if someone gets off to a tear of, like, 16 for 20 and ends up hitting over 400?
Then that, you want to talk about an asterisk. Like, that would have an asterisk.
Well, yeah, there you go. You know, is that the latest 400 hitter since Ted Williams or what?
Oh, no. That wouldn't count against those kind of records.
Well, of course not.
Okay, well, then.
All right, good talk, Russ.
Then what's the question?
Yeah, I don't know what the guy.
And Jones, what if that player was Jackie Bradley
Jr.? I'm actually looking forward to a shortened baseball season for that exact reason. Because I would love for him to hit 400 and for me to crap all over it. Like, that would be, I miss that. Like, I want him to come back and be like the fake American League MVP. Like, that's actually what I want. And, like, you know, I've said this about every team in this city. I think the planned return works for all of them. Like, I know Bruins fans are giant babies about how the league has it out for them and is screwing them over. I think the bubble is advantageous, or the return to play is advantageous for the Bruins. They've had a long layoff. They're an old-ass team. They don't have to worry about playing in front of their home crowd fans, and they could avoid, potentially, depending on how the round-robin tournament plays out, they could avoid facing Tampa and or Washington until the Eastern Conference Finals. They were locked into Tampa in the second round under the old format. I already said my piece on the Celtics a bunch. That lines up well for them. And the Red Sox, like, their pitching staff's horrible, but they might hit enough over 50 or 60 games to sneak into the playoffs. And then John Henry, you know, in the year where they were supposed to take a step back and get crapped on and ignored all year long, he somehow backs his way in with expanded playoffs and a shortened season into the postseason in the year where he traded Mookie Betts and cheaped out. Like, I think it lined up well for all the teams in this city.
And I don't know if it's him, but it's... Some of these owners, they don't want it to come back. I mean, because it would be advantageous to the Red Sox. So I could understand why John Henry would want.
And if there's no season, they never dip below the luxury tax. They'd have to do it again next year.
Yeah. But some of these other, like, there's now maybe up to 6 to 8 unnamed owners that don't want it to happen. Yeah, no kidding, because it's more advantageous for them financially to not get this thing underway.
Yeah,
and they're the worst.
They probably enjoy having their weeknights free. They're like, I don't have to go show up to the box and watch these stupid games.
Sit there for 4 hours.
Awesome.
And be bored out of my mind.
Live my rich life instead of showing up to the ballpark every night and eating peanuts.
Do we have a Gasper update there, Jimmy?
He's stuck in traffic right now.
Okay.
By the way, Jones, did you know that during Jackie Bradley Jr.'s hit streak in 2016, he batted .415 over the course of the 29-game hit streak?
Yeah, that sounds low.
.415.
Sounds low. I would have expected higher.
And then the idiot manager batted him lead off.
All right. Well, Jones
is going to... two agendas there.
Jones is going to get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines here. Right, we'll return. Right. We'll see Gasper here eventually. Again, traffic starting to pick up. one sense of normalcy that we have here around lately on Fridays. Traffic in and around the Dorchester area, 93 South. I'm for it, so I'm going to give Gasper a pass, but he'll be along eventually. We'll continue your phone call with your phone calls, though, on Agenda-Free Friday and Felger and Menace.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.